Well, it was 1 year ago tomorrow that we had our first ever service in this building. All right? Can you believe? Yeah. You believe it's been a year. So if you don't know, and if you're new with us in the last year, if you're new with us today, man, it is a big deal to us that you're here. So welcome. As you're ready, perhaps even today, we would love that. Your next step is to fill out what we call a Connect card. And there's some of those out here on the table. Or you go on our website is the easiest way, relentlesschurch.cc, and let us know who you are. And that'll get you part of our communication and know what's going on at Relentless. But a year and a week ago, we were at a movie theater, Crossroads Regal Movie Theater. We'd been there for 4 years plus. And we were running out of room. We were breaking fire code. Some of you remember some services where people were sitting on the steps in this tiny little theater, and it was cool, right? So if you've been around church, there's something about, so you guys need to hear this because, you know, we're going to two services next week, right? So we're excited about that. Now, there's something exciting about having a full room anywhere, in an event, athletic event, church, whatever. Well, when we go from one service to two services, right, there tends to be less people in the service, right? So we don't raise our hallelujah based on how loud it is in here, right? All right, so it's not about how many people. However, if everybody brings a friend next week, then it'll be just like this in both services. We don't have to deal with that. But there's an excitement about, you know, being packed in a place. But in church, after a little bit of that, you get into this other area where it's not so exciting anymore, and it's kind of annoying, right? And people stop bringing their friends because they're like, man, if we're not there on time, we got to walk in front of everybody, we got to find a seat, and it's just like they don't want us because they haven't made room for us. That's why we always want to send the message to people that you're investing in and talking to, hey, we got a seat for you. Right, so next week the room will look a little different. We'll get to all that next week, but I wanted to do a survey. It's not a scientific survey, but it's the best we got. I want to do a poll for me, right, about next week. Now, if you're like, man, I'm out of town next week. I'm going to the Super Bowl. All right, good for you. Just pretend like you would be here next week, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Most likely in your life, how you flow, like week in, week out. We're not going to hold you to this. Are you more of a 9:30 or more of attending the 11? So right now we're 10:15. We're going back to where we started, 9:30 service and 11. So if most likely, most weeks, you see yourself as a 9:30 folk, raise your hand. Nice. Okay, I got the exact number. I've got a crazy mind like that, all right? And now if you're an 11 o'clock person, raise your hand. Nice. And all right. That was 57% 11 o'clock, 43% 9:30. That's beautiful, right? That is beautiful. What we were hoping wouldn't happen would be like 94% 11 o'clock and 6% 9:30, but I'm not worried about that at all now. So next week's a big week for us as we transition to two services. So we've been talking about that. I hope you've heard some of that explanation. We want to have room for people. We're out of room in some of our kids' spaces. We want to keep those ratios healthy and good so when new people come, they don't, you know, feel like, wow, what is going on in that? Like, we want to be organized and take care of our kids. And then we want to take care of our leaders. That's a huge part of why we're doing this. We have a ton of people that may, I got all this stuff in my time hop this week of these reminders of where we were last year. I got a picture the other day. It was the Friday night picture of this room, like 36 hours before our first service in here, and you would have never bet that we were going to have church in here 36 hours later, but so many people did so much work and continue to do work week in, week out. So this is a way where right now, if you're holding a baby or teaching our elementary or whatever, like you don't come to church that day. You try to catch it online, whatever. So starting next week, we're going to be a church where you can serve a service and then attend a service and not miss a thing. So we're super pumped about that. With that, we need folks, right? Because we're not going to have people serving both services, right? So we're adding people. It's a great time to step in. We've called it our Epic Volunteer Meeting, this Servant Leader Meeting tomorrow night. 6:45. We'll start on time. We'll end on time. This is for anybody serving in any ministry at Relentless. We want you to be here and hear kind of how this is all going to work and how you're a part of it and what we need and where we're going together. Also, if you would like to serve, this might be your first Sunday, right? You're welcome to come to this meeting. Anybody that would call, though, this place, if you're just like, this is my church, this is my home, If that's you, then we invite you to this tomorrow night because it's kind of one of those all hands on deck. It's well worth it. In fact, I hope that some of you carrying a lot will be just so blessed by some people coming alongside of you and carrying some of that with you. But we got to get on the same page to go where God's calling us to go. So we're going to do that together tomorrow night. Right here, we got childcare. We got everything you need except for food. So don't come looking for that because we will have none. So as we get into week four of this who do you think you are, and I won't recap the whole thing. We'll kind of close it all out next week. But we've just been asking if you know who you are, right? Your identity, like what do you see when you look in the mirror? Who you are according to God and how that, where the gaps are between how you see yourself and how God sees you. It's just massive stuff. Again, we designed this series with this thought. If we don't want to get caught up in New Year's resolutions that tend to go away by February, March, but we want to put some stuff in our church that's going to matter long term. This is the series that we came. It's how you view yourself and how you view how God views you is everything. Some of these statements we've been making, who I am is completely wrapped up in whose I am, this identity and belonging. Who do you think you are? We spent this whole series has been two verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Well, if you came to our December Christmas service and series, we ended that with this little tease of, hey, come back in January and we're going to help you figure out what God wants for your life. Right? And some of you are super pumped about that, like, oh, I'm going to be there in January, and you've been here in January, you came on the 5th, you came on the 12th, you came on the 19th, and you're still waiting for that part about what, you know, God wants from your life. So we're there, finally, this week. So we'll go back to Romans 12, let me remind you of verse 2. It says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's all we've been talking about, right? The first week was in view of God's mercy and identity, and then the last 2 weeks, we've just been unpacking what does it mean to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? That's a pretty big deal. Not transformation of, hey, I lost a few pounds or I added a habit or I quit this or that, but the actual supernatural, life-changing, lasting, God-involved transformation. How does that happen? It happens through the renewing of your mind. So if you don't know how to renew your mind, then you're not going to experience, like, this is where it's at. Right? We don't come to church to come to church. We come to church to meet and grow and together and be what God called us to be and have transformation happening from Him to us. That happens through the renewing of your mind. So we talked for 2 weeks about a relationship with God and this prayer that we've been praying as a church. Change me by changing my mind for your glory. Help me see people and you, God, and others and myself through your eyes, not mine. So we've been praying those prayers. And last week we talked about what we believe is actually the Word of God living and active and how it's not about reading a bunch of the Bible. It's about the most important decision I make every day is whether I spend time with God or not. So we've been learning how to renew our mind, and we'll always come back to those things. But there's this beautiful piece at the end of the verse. Then, what do you mean then? Well, as you renew your mind, and that's a part of your life, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Right? That's a pretty good payoff, right? And you don't renew your mind just to get that, but it is part of the promise that God gives us. So there's a whole nother message in here to talk about the will of God, and how do you, listen, just know there is one. Right? Let's just start there. This whole lie that's in our culture that, hey, life is really random and everything, like, there is a personal, active God. Right? He knows your name. He knows how you're hearing this. He does. It's not a cliche that's churchy. He does have a plan for your life. Well, you don't know me. I don't need to know you. I know He doesn't create you without a plan for you. Right? So, and that's not as simple to say. That's hard to believe sometimes. We just sang about, I'm a sing in the middle of the storm. Right in the middle of the storm, it's easy to wonder, man, is there a plan? Is anything connected or are we just random? Right? I've had two people that I love that know Jesus and follow Jesus in the past 10 days have the exact same phrase said to me. They didn't know each other was saying this. They both said, I feel like God has forgotten me. Right? And if you're walking with Jesus and you have no memory of ever dealing with that, I feel like God has forgotten me, then I would guess maybe you haven't been walking with Jesus very long. Right? Because it doesn't mean He has forgotten you, but there is a feeling in the storm, and I don't have answers to all your questions. I just know that's the most important time to raise your hallelujah, the most important time to come to the community of faith and talk and share and be real with your emotions, because we're all going to feel some kind of way, some kind of time. And it's in that that we come back to that's the renewal of the mind. What is feeling and what is true? And is God still with me? And I just, for what it's worth, if you know me or have any credibility in anything I say, he has not forgotten about you. I don't need to know what's going on in your life to know he does not forget about any of us. But yet, man, there's craziness in the world, and God's will is not always done, right? Some people will tell you everything is God's will. Everything happens for a reason. Everything does happen for a reason. Just often the reason is not God. It's stupid humans, right? So Jesus would not have told us, hey, pray that, you know, heaven would come to earth as your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If that was an automatic, there'd be no reason to pray it, right? So there are examples in scripture and in daily life and in history where that was not God's will. Now, here's the crazy thing about God. He'll work through that junk. He shows up and walks into the mess, and he's not intimidated by it, but don't believe that everything, right? He is a sovereign God, and I don't know how all that works. I can't explain everything. I don't know why we're so scared to say that. People in my profession, I'm excited to tell you, I don't know how a lot of that flows, but I do know that he has a will for your life. So about, I don't know, a decade ago, I was at a camp. Some of you were actually Seth, and some were with me, and we were preaching on some of this stuff to high school kids, and we came up with this phrase that kind of stuck. So it's kind of corny, but that's kind of who I am. I'm just kind of owning that today for you for the first time. So we would say, you know how in sports, you know, let's go, baby. Somebody, you read lips on TV. Sometimes you shouldn't read lips on TV, but you know, it's just a natural sport, something good. Let's go, baby, let's go. So we started saying, let's go, right? And sko, baby. And if you don't know what we're talking about, then it just sounds like let's go, and nobody asks any questions, because it's like, yeah, he just, you know, has a speech issue because there's a K in there, but whatever. SCO, SCO, baby, SCO. But SCO is an acronym, right, that actually stuck. There's actually teenagers that were at that camp, and people made some T-shirts, and there's some teenagers that are now 25, 28, 29 years old that still, like, live by SCO. Now, there's no verse about SCO, but it comes out of that, so we're going to unpack that. And it's about following God. It's about God's will. The S, the K, and the O. And the S is what we're talking about today. This word seek. Just to seek God. Right? So if he has a will, this is a huge question. Like, you might want to answer this before we go anywhere else. If he has a will, you know what I'm excited about for two services? I'm going to jump random here. Is these side seats are going to go goodbye. Right? Because I'm trying to, like, see. I want you guys. I'm trying to see, but I'm looking through polls and stuff. So next week, we'll all be right here, and my swivel won't have to be there. It'll just be there, see? When you get my age, you can't swivel like you used to, you know? In the old days, now it's like, let's do this slow so we don't get a cramp or something, right? So next week, be beautiful. Sko, baby. So when we're seeking, here's a huge question. If, like, I don't even care if you believe that there's a God who has a plan for your life. Let's say you do. Let's pretend, even because we have people in the room that aren't sure about Jesus, and we're glad you're here. That's who we are. We're Church for the Untold, Unconvinced. Yeah, I'm not sure if I buy into that. Let's pretend you do. If God has a will and a plan for your life, would you want to know? All right, four of you would want to know, right? You can answer that between you and God if that's how you roll. That's fine. Right? Because if you don't want to know, then, like, we just gotta pray for God to reveal himself, because the reality is some of us are kind of happy doing what we want, and if we can fit God into kind of doing what we want, then we're happy with that. But God doesn't really play that. So he's not looking to be fit into your life. He's got a will and a plan, and he wants you to jump head and shoulders into that, right? So we invite you, and we're all trying to figure that out. So the question is, do you or are you willing or even excited to seek what his will, sko, is seek, know, obey. We're talking about seeking and knowing. And really, it's seeking his will, how? By seeking him, right? So you don't want to just seek his will and be like, okay, God, I'm going to renew my mind and pray the prayer and read a little verse, so because I just want to know what you want for my life, right? So some of you have college kids, right? And they're kind of in that crazy area of they're not on their own. They still need some things, but they're kind of adults, right? And they come home, and some might come up and just show up and be like, hey, man, can I get a 20? Because I just need, like, just came home, haven't seen you in 6 weeks, and the first thing's out of your mouth, can I get a 20? Or more likely, 50 or 100 or a debit card or whatever. I'm just low, can I get, right? And as a parent, I don't know what that's like because my oldest is 15, but, like, I haven't seen you and I've missed you. Don't lead with the handout, right? Let's sit down and maybe get reacquainted, and we can get to that, right? But then we got some smooth cats that have been around. They've been through high school. They're in college now. They know that that's offensive, right? So all they want is the money, but they're going to at least play the game for 5 minutes. How you been? How, yeah, grass looks great. Man, I love how you've been doing that. Yeah, you know, I've been good. I'm glad you asked, because actually I just realized this. I forgot there's this thing, and I'm a little short, if you could, right? Parents are a little smarter than we give them credit for, right? They can sniff that. For me, as a dad, when that day comes, just put your hand out and start with that, right? I'm probably not going to just give you money, but don't pretend, right? So God is saying, we've been through this so many times, what does he want from you? Well, come to church. Well, what he wants from you is a relationship. Just come and sit with me. I know what you need. I know he said all that, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All this other stuff. I know that there are needs. And I'm not mad at you for coming with that. But don't come to God and try to trick the renewal. Like, okay, if I say the right words and read the right verses, then I'll get to God. Just come sit with me. And in that, in our relationship, again, this wasn't even my notes 3 weeks ago. We've repeated it, and it's meant so much to me. He's not a God of transaction. He's a God of transformation, right? He doesn't want to just transact and have a bit. He wants to change our lives. So you just got to come sit with him. But it's okay to be excited about the reward that when you seek him, he's going to bless. And one of the ways he's going to bless, he's going to reveal what his will is. Right, as you earnestly seek him. But that's all built on kind of wanting to know where he leads you. Now, when we say, what does he want for your life? A lot of us naturally, especially my young people, as I look at the young people in the room and just get excited about, we're such a young church, right? We don't have 30-year-olds that came through, you know, RAF's, you know, student ministry, went on these trips. Like, we're so young to see what these young people are going to become, and not just going to become, but are becoming. Right, so if I'm a college student and I'm hearing this message, I start thinking about, man, my 5-year plan. Right, and there's nothing wrong with a 5-year plan. I believe in planning. I'm just telling you from my life. I don't know about anybody else in the room. If you agree with what I say in a second, you can amen it if you want. But for me and my plan, my 5-year plan at 15 and 20 and 25 and 30 and 35 and my latest at 40, not one of those 5-year plans happened exactly. So maybe it's just me and a few people that were that we don't know how to do the 5-year plans well. But what I've found in talking to other people, hardly anybody's life is going according to plan. And that's not sad or depressing or discouraging, because his plan's actually better than your plan. That's good news. But you gotta wanna step in it. So if we're not talking about a 5-year plan, then it tends with God to be short term. He gave us this great verse that, you know, your word, again, it's your word that you're in your mind. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Right? And if they were using like torches back then. Right? We want, like, you remember in the prison movies with those lights up on the guard tower that just shine the whole yard? Right, we want that. Like, show me everything, God. Show me who I'm going to marry and when I'm going to marry and how much money. And God's like, no, I'm going to give you a step. And you're going to trust me in that step. Well, why don't you give it all to me? Because it would blow your mind, right? It would hurt us, right? We can't handle that. We don't want that. He just is giving you short term, usually, not always, but usually. And here's the reality. Young, not so young, everybody in the room is going to get curveballs. You have pain in your future. Why would I lie to you? Everybody in the room has pain. What level of pain? What kind of pain? I don't know. I don't want to know. Everybody has pain coming in your life. It's part of the human experience. You have success. You have failure. You have people that let you down. You have joy. You have stuff that you never dreamed in a good way. You have stuff that you never dreamed in a bad way. I don't know, and you're not going to know. And to say that out loud drives some of our control freaks insane, because you think you could control your plan and your future. You can't. The only thing you can know is who is going to be with you every step of the way. His name is Jesus. He's what you can count on and predict. None of the other stuff can you control. But he knows, right? So this is about, do you really want to know, right? Love that verse. Don't conform the pattern of this world. What do? We're changed. How? By the renewing of your mind, right? As a lifestyle, I'm renewing my mind. God's changing me. And a result of that will be, I will know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So here's how we did that. Let's get down to real stuff here. Here's how we did this in our staff meeting this week. We asked a couple questions. One, we said, what are you struggling to know God's will about? Hey, I want to know, God, what you want in this situation, but man, I'm struggling to figure out. I don't have an answer yet. And then the second part of that we asked, what are you not seeking God's will about that maybe God would want you to? Right? And it's a very like normal, everyday issue, but I'll tell you how I answered the second one. And I haven't said this publicly. Relax. I want to move houses. Right? We've been there 6.5 years. It's been great. Love our neighborhood. We live in Fuquay, Verena. There's a lot of people in our church from the Quay. It's a great place, all that. But about a year ago, I'm kind of done with the Quay. Right? A lot of basketball stuff, a lot of thing in my life. Now that our church is here and we know, you know, we feel like God has called us to this general area as a church long term, like everything, like it just, I just want to move, you know, up, down, whichever way that is. I guess that's north on 401. Not a ton, right? Right, but just some, right? Because we're way back, like in the heart, in the depths, and the way back in the Fuquay, right? We just like, I never mind. So there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with wanting to move. And there's some things that were great in our house when we had kids, the age we had kids, you know, 6.5 years ago, that, man, there's just some things. Nothing wrong with that. But I found, just being real with my own heart, that I came to this place of, I want to move. And then I went from there to, hey, and my wife and I talked about it. She's a part of this, right? And we went from, I want to move to, we're gonna move really quick, right? Well, what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with that is I skipped the part about my God. Well, what, does he really care where you live? I think he does, right? I'm a father. I got 3 kids. When they do and go wherever they're gonna go, I don't know where they're gonna go. I just know they're gonna go, right? Where they live matters. Right, and I've seen it in my life. God has called us to be missionaries, not because of what I do for a living, because I'm a follower of Jesus. He's put you where he's put you for a reason, and there's strategy, and you know, neighbors, has been beautiful stuff happening in our neighborhood, and I wasn't being evil. I just had an idea. I'd kind of ready to move, and I'm gonna move. Oh, wait. Is that what God wants? Maybe it is, right? I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying I skipped a pretty important step. Here's what I could not put on the screen. I thought about making this a slide, but it's too embarrassing, so I'm just going to tell you. Here was the prayer I was praying. Now, I didn't say this to God. This was my heart. I want to know what you want, as long as what you want is what I want. Now, again, I did not say those words to God, right? I'm not quite that brazen. But that was my heart on, like, I already figured out what we want, because I know, and I'm going to tell you, because I've been praying, God, show us where to move. If never came into play, right? I don't know. I try to use a very basic example that's real. I don't know what God wants to fill in the blank in your life. It may be much bigger than where neighborhood you live in. It may be relational, it may be financial, it may be spiritual. A lot of seeking the will of God starts with making a commitment to trust Him with your life, not believe in Him like some of you have your whole life, but actually trust Him. We get to see that trust, that beautiful picture of surrender through baptism every so often in our church. Maybe for some of you, that's the beginning of everything else. For some of you, I just hope right now He's putting some stuff in your head and you're realizing, man, I did that too. I made a decision and I went here and I forgot this beautiful in-between of God. What do you want? How do we do this? How do you figure out? I want to break stuff up. So Romans 12:2, hey, I don't want to conform to the pattern. It's going to cause damage to my soul. It's not going to be the joyous, abundant life God's called me to. So how do I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind, and as a result, I'll be able to know God's will. All right, so how do you know God's will? There's three buckets. Let me put these on the screen. There's a bucket where Scripture is clear, right? We talked about the power of the Word of God. So when Scripture is clear, and then there's another bucket where Scripture is complex. It's complex. And then there's a bucket where Scripture doesn't speak. All right, so let me break these down because this is super important going forward. We can do some damage to ourselves if we don't understand these three categories. The first one, right, where Scripture is clear. If you come to me after church, one of you guys would be like, listen, I'm so glad you preached this God's will message because I've been thinking, I think God wants me to leave my wife. All right? That's a short conversation, bro. Right? Unless there's some crazy circumstances, which we'll get to next month. Right? We don't need to pray about if God wants you to leave your wife. Scripture is clear. Right? So those are not easy, but they tend to be simpler. Right? Because we don't have to pray and figure out God's will. He has revealed His will on a lot of things right there in Scripture. But then we get to the second bucket that tends to be complex. Now, this is complicated. Here's a great example that's just real for our church. Last week, I was so excited to announce that Joy Bay was transitioning from part-time staff member to full-time staff member at Relentless, right? And there was this outburst of applause when I announced it. Not, you know, that was fine right there. But it was better and louder because it was the first time we'd kind of kept that under wraps for the most part in that. And what I didn't want to do last week, because I just wanted to celebrate that God had done that. It's way more to it than I have time to tell you. It's just a beautiful God story of Joy Bay, Relentless Church, and all that. But what I didn't want to do is announce her title, right? Because that can't be done quickly, because if you're new and you're untold, unconvinced, this is going to make no sense to you. If you've been around church world, there's been battles and fights and arguments and disagreements and even division based on what you do with women that work for churches, what you call them, what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. And we go to Scripture. That's what we do. You go to Scripture. And it just, to me, it just leaps off the page how purposeful Jesus was in the first century, not today, in the first century when the people bankrolling His ministry were women. Women were the ones supporting financially the ministry of Jesus. Women were the ones that God set up to be the very first eyewitnesses of the resurrection. Everything, if you're not sure about Jesus, investigate the resurrection. Everything we are is built on, did He raise or did He not? If He did, He deserves to own your life. He is a good God and He has defeated death. If He did not raise from the dead, Christianity is the biggest waste of time anybody ever thought of. He chose the very first people to see a risen Jesus to be women. Paul wrote letters. At the end of these letters, he thanks people and he gives lists of leaders in the church, and there are female names in those lists in the first century. But there's some other verses that usually people, I don't know why some preachers are really angry, but when they talk about these verses, they're really mad, right? And these verses talk about women in some other ways. Now, again, you got to interpret Scripture with Scripture, and you got to know the context. There's a lot more to it. We get in trouble when we just lift a verse out. But there are these words that we believe are from God through Paul that speaks to churches, and they talk about one role, at least what we would call an elder, right? That God seems to call as a male position. It's complicated, right? So we want to be true to Scripture, So we've been praying. Like, if you knew how many minutes we spent praying and discussing this as a staff, you would be appalled, right? Because it's a big deal. We want to be true to God. We want to be what God called us to be. So in all that, let me show you the slide and introduce Joy as our women's pastor, right? That's the role we're using. Now let me tell you what that means. Let me tell you what that means, right? So when we say, one, I was not willing to call Joy something different than what she's already been doing, right? So for years, she has been pastoring. Now when we say that word, because this is impossible for me, so I've just given it to God. In this room, we have a group of people that do not care, right? Because your background, you just don't care what we call anybody, right? Then we have a group of people from all kinds of different denominations, and these words mean different things church to church. It's super complicated. So here's where we're coming from, right? For us, that word is used once in Ephesians 4, the word pastor. It's not a very New Testament word. Elder and other things are used a lot. Pastor simply means one who pastors or shepherds, right? Joy has been doing that since I met her. She's been doing that way before I met her, right? She's been doing that at Relentless since I've known her. So we want to call her something that describes what she is doing. This doesn't mean elder for us. Elder, we're still working through that discussion. There's more to come in that in the future months and years, right? But in that Ephesians 4, where it uses the word pastor, there's no gender about it, right? It's just people that pastor and shepherd. So Joy's done that. She's got an incredible ministry to the women of Relentless and beyond. It's not just women, and we're so thankful for that. So I don't need you to like fully love that. It's not about that. It's about, man, how do we figure things out? And some things are clear. They're not easy, but they're clear. Some things are complicated. I have friends that are educated and have PhDs, and two of them, and they love Jesus, and I've talked to both of them, and they don't see this stuff the same, right? Because it's complicated. Then there's the third part of Scripture I want to spend the rest of our time on. That's where Scripture does not speak, right? This is really where it gets to you, because do I take this job or not take this job? I can't say, well, go to Thessalonians 3, and it'll tell you if you should go to that job or this job. It doesn't say anything in the New Testament about your specific job, right? We got people in the room that are praying about whether to go to Honduras, right? We're sending another group in July. We got people praying about, hey, does God want me to go on that trip, right? And there's going to be help. You're going to renew your mind from Scripture, but there's not going to be a verse that says, your name, go, or no, you should not go. Well, but doesn't God want, he wants somebody to go, it may not be you. How do you know? Right? Should I pursue this relationship? Young people, this major discussion that every time you're home, right? What are you majoring in? What do you like gets on your nerve? There is not going to be a verse that says you know, biology versus pediatrician. No verse is going to specifically say that, right? So how in the world are we supposed to live life and make huge decisions? Some of you are in a season right now. It's not one of those huge decisions that will impact your family tree, honestly. But there's not a verse that tells you exactly what to do. So what do you do? You seek His will. How do you do that? Let me give you four things. One, it's this whole series, renew your mind. By the renewing of your mind, you will know God's perfect and pleasing will. You don't do it just for that. You do it because there's a good Father who loves you and you want to sit with Him and spend time with Him. We skip this step. So I skip this. Listen, we're so good at saying, I felt like God said. Right? But then we get into a corner because we say that publicly. I felt like God wanted me to take this job. But if you didn't renew your mind, how would you have a clue? How do you know the difference between your feelings and God's will? By renewing your mind. The whole prayer is, God, I know I got feelings and I know I can get off so easy, right? So help me see what you want me to see. That simple prayer, when you mean it, protects you in so many ways. That is why this is so crucial, because if you don't renew your mind, it doesn't mean you make 100 bad decisions, but you're kind of flying on your own. And you're going to do what you think or feel God wants you to do, and your batting average isn't going to be very high in that, right? This explains a lot for me, right? And I have to have this conversation so many times. We're a gospel-centered, forever-focused, multi-ethnic movement of God. And I say that kind of with a bad attitude, and I shouldn't, right? So I should rephrase that. I get to have this conversation so many times, but it hurts me because I know why we're so off. Here's the conversation. Man, if the Bible is the word of God, like we preached last week, slavery, right? Because now we're culture is catching up, but man, the Bible is pro-slavery and all this stuff, and like, how do you defend that? One, I don't have to defend anything, but two, the Bible's not pro-slavery. It never was. The Bible didn't change. Right, you read who God is, and you'll back up, and again, quit taking a verse and trying to make it mean what you already want it to mean and not even trying to study it. You read the God of the Bible and tell me there's a God of the Bible who created everybody, was knit together and in their mother's womb with a plan from the beginning, and that God would be pro people going across the ocean and getting to another country and kidnapping people and separating families, putting them in a ship and torturing them and treating them as animals, and then the few that survive that come over here, we're going to put you to work and we're just not going to pay you. We're going to get all the money, but we're going to not pay you, and we're going to say it's okay with God because we'll get the money from your work because you're not fully human like us. Like, if you have any knowledge of the scripture, there's no chance that the God of scripture would be for that. Right? So that's the easy part. Here's the hard part. We had not one crazy dude, hundreds of preachers standing behind usually big old pulpits. I don't know why they were so big, but big old pulpits preaching from the same scripture I preach from, saying, this is God's will, he is for slavery. So it all must just be a joke, right? People have given up just because they think, no, this is the answer. If I get up here and preach to you week after week, telling you what I think or what I feel, we're going to get way off. I can guarantee you the preachers that twisted scripture to God to be pro-slavery were not renewing their minds. And he's like, well, wait a second, you know, they're not, you know, you can't judge people. You might have been, I might have been if I wasn't renewing my mind. If I was in touch, doesn't mean we're perfect. You don't, this is elementary. This is not in the complicated bucket. This is in the scripture is clear bucket. And yet people, preachers, twisted scripture. Why? Just like my home. They already decided what they wanted. Then they found some verses they could twist to make other people believe that's what God wanted. I'm so thankful I don't have to defend a God who was wrong about slavery and then changed his mind. I get to defend a God who knew who he was all along, and when his people don't renew their mind, they get messed up. And go on and on. Like, the beauty of the civil rights movement and the abolitionist movement, those were Jesus scripture people. It was like, well, nobody back then. No, there's a bunch of people that followed and renewed their mind. Nobody's right about everything, and racism isn't the unforgivable sin. But it's not like it's hard to find people who loved and followed Jesus 100, 200, 300, 400 years ago that were saying, no, God is not for this. All right, let's go back to the list. Renew your mind. So we've been talking about that. If you don't know how to renew your mind, go listen to the last 2 weeks. That's all we talked about for 2 weeks. Second, seek wisdom from other mind renewers. You gotta have some people in your life that are renewing their mind. I can get so messed up on my own. I'm trying to renew my mind. I am renewing my mind, but I'm still a human being. I'll give you a quick example. May of 2014, we've been praying and talking about 9/14/14. That was the launch date of our church. May, my dad had died in 2012. We moved here. My mom was in Winston. Now she's a widow. So my brother's there in Winston. So, but it's just good to be closer to her. May of 2014, a day after Mother's Day, she gets a tumor found in her lung. We got to do the biopsy and all that stuff. Found out she has stage 3 lung cancer. June, July, August, September, we're launching. I know what treatment. I know I've been through that. I know what's about to happen. I'm so thankful that we're here in North Carolina. Unlike for my dad's sickness, but I don't know. I look back this week at my journal. I'm praying to God, and I write in my journal, God, I feel like you're calling us to move the launch date from September to January. 9/14/14 sounds cool, but there's January whatever 15, like it'll be okay, because I don't think I can do this with this, you know, with all this might be coming with my mom's sickness and what that's going to require and mentally, emotionally. I left that day, after renewing my mind, I left that day thinking, I think this is where God's taking us. We got to back this up. And the first two conversations I had with my wife, Kelly, and with Seth Helfrich, who does so much, has been with us from the beginning, him and Stephanie and the Helfrich family. The first two conversations with Kelly and Seth, these are two people, if you know them, they're mind renewers. They depend on God, not themselves. And they didn't know, they didn't have a conversation with each other, and they both said the exact same thing, right? Very full of grace and love of, I don't feel good about that. We've been building towards 9/14/14. Let's keep praying about it. But their initial reaction was negative. Do you have people that you know are sitting with Jesus that you can bring a decision to? That's not clear in Scripture. It's not complex. It's one of those things that Scripture just doesn't speak to that. You got to have those people. We're trying to create an environment where you can find those people if you don't have them. But don't do what I do sometimes, and that is I have a decision to make. I already know what I want to do, and I got one friend. Everybody's got that one friend. I'll tell you what you want to hear, right? You could go to them and say anything that is at least legal, and they'd be like, yeah, go for it. You the man, you the woman, you'd be great at that. I'm not talking about that friend. I'm talking about the friend that loves you so much, they would look you in the eye and say, I love you, and if you do what I think you shouldn't do, I'm still going to love you. But man, I don't feel good. I don't have a peace about that. Third, pay attention, right? And there's 1,000 stories that I could tell you. Yeah, I'm talking about circumstances. He's going to speak through his word. He's going to speak through prayer. He's going to speak through other people. Circumstances, right? We were in a mess in the theater. How did we get in this room? Stephen Scoggins, who I knew from church planting from 3 or 4 years ago, hadn't seen him in 3 years. He shows up in the theater. Second time I talked to him, he's saying, hey, what's going on? What are you guys? I'm like, we got to figure out where we're going. He's like, well, the next conversation, well, we bought a building at 1540 Mechanical. It's set up for a church. There's no church in it right now. God put Relentless on my heart. If you guys are looking, we should talk. Right? Now, that's a pretty easy one not to miss, right? But there's subtle things that God will do. I don't know what that is for you. But if you're renewing your mind and your eyes are open, man, if you're trying to find the will of God, he's really, really good. He's so good at revealing it. Circumstances, people, things that the world would call a coincidence. Over and over, some of you remember this, and we had been in the theater for a year. They call us on Saturday night in February. This was back before climate change. This was back when we had winter, right? So there was, I know you guys know about spring and summer, fall. This was back, there was a fourth season, years ago, right? So their pipes in the theater froze. Saturday night, they call us, hey, sorry, you're not going to be able to have church here tomorrow. Our pipes are frozen. It's 6 o'clock on Saturday night. Right? So what do? I start to renew my mind. No, I'm like, God, what in the world? We're a fragile church. We can't skip a week. Not right now. So somebody, it wasn't me, probably my wife, she's like, hey, why don't you call that hotel right by the theater? Okay, call the hotel. I'm talking to this lady who can rent the ballroom to us, and she says, this is so crazy. I'm the only one that can rent this room. I'm never here to answer the phone on Saturday night. Well, isn't that weird? No! It's not weird at all. There's a living God to seek his will, man. He's with us and for us, and he's with you and for you. We set up church in that ballroom. Some of you told me, that was my favorite Relentless service, right? Because there's a lot more to that. But I'm just saying, that's not something he did for us because we're special. He's God and he wants. You just got to pay attention, right? He'll show up. And fourth, last, this whole concept of open doors, that's real, right? If you've heard the phrase, hey, God closes doors, God opened doors. He really does, right? And I'm preaching long this week because I can. Part of our adjustment with two services is we gotta get people in, get people out. So I'm getting a little extra out this week because I know starting next week I gotta stay true to the script, at least for the most part. But man, this is important, this open door. I just want to give you some hope and some encouragement with this last scripture. This is talking about Paul and his boys, verse 10 of Acts 16. They went through the region of Phrygia. Some of you hadn't heard about Phrygia in a while. There she's right there in scripture. And Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Paul's trying to go somewhere and figure out where they're supposed to preach the gospel, and he's forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak in Asia. Well, God, doesn't he love the Asians? Oh, he loves them, and he has a whole plan. The gospel gets to Asia. It was just he did not want Paul at that time to go to that place to preach the gospel. Now, Paul, like, how could he miss that? Paul had been, like, the worst. Like, he was killing Christians and hated Jesus and didn't believe he was real. And then Jesus touched his heart like he has touched a lot of ours. And he became, like, he wrote more books in the New Testament than anybody. He planted more churches. Like, Paul's a big deal in Christianity. And here's Paul trying to go the wrong place. And he needs the Holy Spirit not to whisper. He forbids him. He's trying to go where he's not supposed to go. Why? Because God closes doors. The next verse, he says, "And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them." Right? So we got the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. Like, nope, Paul, wrong door again. Isn't he praying, "God, where am I supposed to go?" Or is he, we don't know. He's just not going where he's supposed to go. Verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Paul, we're the ones. Come help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding, Paul's bright, hey, God called us to preach the gospel to them. Sometimes you just got to go. And God will close doors and you go somewhere else. He's the one. It's on him. It's not on you. You can't sit there away like, does God want me to do this? Does God want me? Hey, does God want you to preach the gospel with your life? Yes. Right? If you go to the wrong place, he's got an ability to turn you around and get you to the right place. Don't be paralyzed by, I don't want to make the wrong decision. Just go. We got people on their deathbeds and in hospice centers that spent their whole life wondering, hey, I should really do something for God, but they weren't sure what, so they just didn't. That's not us. We're going. There's a relentless God who loves us relentlessly. We're going to go. And if you're renewing your mind, you got other people renewing their mind in your lives, they're going to help you not blow it. And you know what? If you preach the gospel to the wrong people, that's okay. God will get you where you need to go. My dad prayed a prayer I want to end today with, and that is, as he was diagnosed, he started praying and helping us pray, because it was hard. He's so bold in this, but he'd said it 1,000 times after his diagnosis, God, I just help me want what you want. That's the seeking. God's in charge of the revealing. You'll know if you seek. Well, I've been seeking God for 2 years. He hadn't said nothing. That's because you're not supposed to know yet. He will let you know what he wants you to know. He's really, really good at that. We struggle. It begins with a heart behind that prayer. Help me want what you want. If there is a plan for your life, and there is, do you want to know it? Are you willing to seek it? And do you believe that whatever God wants for you is better than anything you could dream up on your own? I believe it is, and I believe when you believe it, your life begins to supernaturally change. Let me pray that prayer over you as you stand, and we'll dismiss. Father, help me want what you want. It's easy. God, those words are awesome. Thank you for my dad and his boldness and his testimony that lives on now, what, God? 8 years later, his prayer, and it's not just his, God, but his faith in that prayer is still being talked about. I love that, God. But God, help us get excited as we leave this place. What if, Father, what if a bunch of us, there's a bunch of us in here. God, what if we start to live with this prayer? Whatever you want in my relationships, in my schedule, in my health, in my job, in my finances, in my parenting, in my college, in my friendships, help me want what you want. Help me see and help me seek your will. Help us seek it by seeking you. Help us know it by knowing you. And God, I pray that every decision we make would be a chance and an opportunity to worship you by turning it over and surrendering it to you. God, thank you that we already know you're going to come through. You're great at running our lives. God, we struggle, but thank you for being perfect in all of your ways. We pray and go now. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week, 9:30 or 11.